This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is and you already know the vibes. Playoff basketball, we're here in the finals. Yeah, I know everybody wanted to talk about that Celtics, Miami Heat series, the fact that it went all the way to seven. Please keep that in mind. I know we're already past game one in the finals. Boston took the first game at Golden State, but we're going to break that all down. This is what we're going to do. We're going to start at the series. So, Miami, they were wounded, no, right? Yeah, nobody was really healthy, not even Jimmy Butler. I mean, everybody was like, well, he was playing. Okay, so quick little note to people out there who don't really understand what it means when your knee swells. Well, one thing I can tell you is it doesn't swell for no reason. And just because you can contain it for a day or two or a week doesn't mean that there isn't underlying issues going on that will prevent you from performing at a high level. Because remember, that's what we're asking Jimmy to do. Perform at a high level, right? So, yeah. End of the game. I mean, game one of the, you know, the game seven that you want to see, right? You want to see guys go after it. You want to see it come down to the wire, and it did. And everybody questions whether Jimmy Butler should have taken that three. He saw Gordon Hayward kind of back off of him, kind of defending the rim. And Jimmy decided to do a transition three. Now, it's always, hindsight's always 20/20, right? So the fact that he missed and they ultimately end up losing the game for other reasons, not just because of the three, but the three is the more obvious, the more easier thing to say, the reason why they lost. But in actuality, I mean, when you're the best player, you're in the moment, you're feeling it, you have a chance to win the game. Everybody is fatigued. An overtime game would not favor a wounded Miami anyway. I mean, I guess they were, I mean, this is what I'm assuming what Jimmy had in mind. Yeah, he could have taken it to the basket. He could have gone for the free throws, right? I mean, but we're asking, because now we're putting it on the officials. And yeah, I think that was something that was kind of like something that we say that people should do nowadays. You know, players should kind of just put their head down and go to the basket. But the way the games are called, I mean, I still can't call it. Honestly, I don't have a horse in the race, right? But every time I'm either at the bar or watching a game with people, everybody has all these different opinions, and a lot of it comes from a place of, I want Boston to win or I want Miami to win. So obviously, their opinions are going to be a bit skewed, you know? It's going to be a bit biased, rightfully so. And me, I really don't have a horse in the race, so I'm kind of able to look at it objectively because I don't hate Golden State and I don't favor Boston. I'm kind of like, I just want to see a good series, and whoever wins, wins. And I can pretty much give you my opinion on who I think will win, Warriors in six, but I'm not going to sit there and say that that's what I want to happen, because what I want to happen, honestly, is more so a good series, seven games, if we could do that, you know, competitive, no lopsided victories, but we're not really going to get that because of the emphasis on the three-point shooting, right? Whoever is hot that night from the three-point range, that's where you're going to get, like, that 20-point, you know, discrepancy. But to go back on Jimmy Butler real quick in the Miami series, injuries are unfortunate, and they're definitely a part of the game. And when you hear guys like Draymond kind of say, oh, nobody's ever beaten us whole, and that's like, come on, man. Like, who's ever really whole at the end of a season? You know, like, tell me a team who hasn't suffered injuries, especially in this day and age where you have guys that are super athletic. There's way more possessions. You know, the scores are way higher. Guys are, you know, 82-game season. I mean, I know it's always been 82 games, you know, at least as long as I've been watching. But guys are just, it's just different. The game is different. Things are being called differently. So guys aren't as healthy as you would hope getting this far. You know, that's why we have things like load management, and you have some guys that may not agree with it, and a lot of it is the OGs, right, that had to deal with those things, right? I remember I was listening to Grant Hill, the great Grant Hill. He was also, not a fan of the lopsided victories, not a fan of everybody shooting threes, and I must say I'm not really either, but at the same time, it's like, I guess teams are also looking for more, not just efficiency, meaning like the better shot. They're looking for longevity. I mean, 3-point shot versus taking it in the paint. Because when you take it in the paint, like, you're going to catch some bodies, or somebody's going to catch your body. Like, it's physical. It's a different sort of thing. So that's going to wear and tear on you, 82-game season. Then you have, if you're lucky enough to get to the postseason, and then to get deep enough to where you're in the finals, right? Or in Jimmy Butler's case, the Eastern Conference Finals with his team and Kyle Lowry. And, yeah, everybody wants to just look at statistics, and that's the problem I have with statistics all the time. It does not tell you the whole story. It matters if guys are injured. Obviously, they're going to shoot, you know, horrendously. Because of injuries, you're also going to get different rotations. You're going to get different looks on defense. Guys not going to be able to play both sides of the ball because of it. They're going to have to sacrifice something. And you see it even with the Warriors as well, you know. I mean, it's a lot more deeper than that, you know. It's not really, nobody can really give you a simplistic answer. But to get right down to it, was Jimmy's shot the best shot? Am I going to say, like, that was, like, the best shot under normal circumstances with a healthy team, knowing that his team probably could go the distance if he had to just try to, do anything he can to tie the game, whether that was going to the free throw line or just forcing the issue, maybe get an and one. Maybe that's how you get, you know, the lead. I mean, under normal circumstances. But were they under normal circumstances? They had a lot going on. And we're definitely talking about injuries. I'm still not quite sure about Eric Spoelstra's rotation, keeping Duncan out. You have to understand, yeah, I get it. You're worried about him on defense, but aren't you worried about your offense? You know, especially when you got Tatum and Jaylen Brown and God forbid if Marcus Smart goes off and you got Pritchard. You know, you mess around, you got Tice hitting threes. Like, it can get crazy. You know, Derek White. That's what's dangerous about Boston. They have a lot of, like, guys, who, if they get hot, it just becomes dangerous. And the way that they get hot is when Jalen and Jason decide to distribute the ball, you know, especially early. But you can see how that, but Miami still found a way to make it a 7-game series despite everything. They still found a way. Despite Tyler Hero not showing up, you know, even though he was a sixth man of the year, rightfully so, because it's a regular season award. He did his thing in the regular season. But the postseason is just another animal, and guys just weren't exactly where they needed to be. And again, that's also health. He had an injury with his groin that normally would have kept him out a month. And, I mean, it should be pretty obvious, right? I mean, that's why when I think about the finals in Golden State versus the Celtics, and when I sit there and analyze it and really try to figure out who's going to come out victorious, it just makes me think, like, man, the Celtics barely got past Miami. Like, barely. Just barely. You know, and I know some people want to say, oh, Marcus Smart was injured too. Yeah. He was. But at the same time, he was still there, right? He was still Marcus Smart at the end of the day. I felt like Miami suffered so much, and they were literally playing on sure will. And that's only going to get you but so far. So like I said, Butler's shot, was it the best shot? In Miami's circle, in their circumstance, what they had going on injury-wise, could they really afford that game to go into overtime to think they would give themselves more of a chance? Yeah, that was a good shot. That was a good chance. You know why? Because he worked his tail off. He's the reason why they're there. You know, the way this guy is selfless. They were number one in the East, guys. They were number one in the East for a reason. Injuries got the best of them. It happens. Jimmy put his team in the best position to win. So it was only right that he took that shot to put them in the best position to win. It just didn't work out. Sometimes shots don't fall. Remember that cliche? It's a make or miss league. That's what happens. Miami is still going to be in the conversation next season. No sweat. I know Udonis Haslem was pretty pissed. And rightfully so. I mean, I know everybody was, they had jokes on him the whole time, you know, for whatever he was saying to Draymond or how he felt after the game. I mean, I don't like when people, like, it's so weird to me how somebody can make fun of someone's passion. Like, the dude cares. He obviously puts in the work. So when it doesn't turn out your way, obviously you're going to be upset. You're going to have some type of emotion toward that. That's normal. You know what I mean? Like, you expect him to walk out of there smiling, head held high? Nah. He deserves to be in his bag. That's just how he feels. He has every right to feel that way. I'm sure Butler feels the same way. I'm sure he felt like he let his team down. And you know what? It's in those moments where you're defined. I still remember when Kobe Bryant airballed that shot in the playoffs against Utah back in the day. You know? And he vowed that that would never happen again. He wouldn't let his team down. Those moments don't define you. It's what you do afterwards is what defines you. Look at his body of work after that. And we'll see where Jimmy goes after that. Knowing what type of team he had, you know, I don't really know else what else people would want with that. But fast forward, Warriors Celtics. Shout out to Ime Udoka, like I said, once again, first year head coach. We all should have seen this coming the way he studied under Popovich. He was an assistant on USA men's basketball team with the Bucks, also with the Nets on their staff. Man is a sponge. He obviously soaked up all of this knowledge, developed his own schemes of how he wanted to run things. He obviously has his own personality. And his execution in game one was bar none. And I'm not even just talking about box scores. I'm not talking about who won the game. Obviously, that matters, but I'll get to that in a second. It was how he trusted his team. He saw in the beginning, Jaylen wasn't having the best game, especially Jason Tatum wasn't having the best game. He didn't call timeouts too quickly. He watched his team weather the storm, especially in the first half. First quarter, obviously, Steph got away. You know, that he got away. This is the best defensive team in the league, in the Celtics, and Steph put up like 21 points in the first quarter. But you know what great defensive teams do? They say to themselves, okay, that ain't going to happen again. Second quarter, Steph doesn't score. Now, really quickly, Steve Kerr, great coach, has a ridiculous amount of rings with the Spurs, the Bulls, when he was a player, and also as a coach. I mean, what's that? What is that? Correct me if I'm wrong. 6 rings? Man knows what he's doing. Coaching. I mean, you could feel how you want, however you want to feel the way he got the team, but I think it's safe to say the man knows what he's doing. But in game one, I have some questions, though. You're great, but it doesn't mean you're just not, you know, going to make mistakes. You know, Curry had it going. He had it going. He's in a zone. If you've ever played on a basketball team and you're one of those shooters that once you get into a zone, it's like you are just unconscious. You are just in your bag. You're in that rhythm. Nobody can take you out. It's just you about to have that type of game, especially the way he came in scoring. It was just crazy. Like, you was just like, yeah, it's going to be that type of night. Steph's probably going to put up 50. He's obviously listening to what people are saying about his legacy being top 10, you know, overall, if he wins this, you know, finals and then ultimately becomes the finals MVP, and they're having that conversation with him and Magic. And there's a lot of conversations going on about Steph right now. So he was obviously listening. Not saying that he needs any more motivation than he already has, because with Steph, that's just intrinsic. I mean, that dude is self-motivated. I mean, the things that he works on with his trainer, ridiculous. How you can go from a heart rate of like 120, and then the minute you stop, you can make your heart rate go down to like 50. And that's actually a fact. Like, this is the type of things that he works on in the offseason. Strength and conditioning is crazy. And then he added weights to the repertoire. Insane. Also the shooting, trying not to hit the rim, just one all net. I mean, when you get to a level like that, on another level. So that's what we witnessed from Steph. That's what he was doing. Now, Steve Kerr deciding to take him out and to keep him out, I'm like, this is why you load management throughout the season, right? This is why you say, we're going to save you. I feel like sometimes we're in that load management mentality so much to a fault that even when it comes to the biggest moment, like, this is it. And we're still trying to rest Steph. Why? Everybody else is playing 40-plus minutes. And there's a reason for that, because that's what it's going to take. Steph is good, all right? I mean, obviously, unless you know something that I don't know. But it's going to take more than that, obviously. We saw the end result. But you even saw even the way the game went. It was like Boston was just like, okay, as long as we weather the storm, they're going to go. The playoffs are a game of runs, too. Okay, everybody's going to have their run. But you got to be able to stop it, though, at some point. You got to stop the bleeding, right? Golden State went on their little run. Cool. But every time Golden State seems to do that so early in a game, if you're a Warriors fan, you should be worried, because they get complacent. I honestly feel like they didn't really respect the Boston Celtics. And I don't mean it as like they were disrespecting them. I just mean they just didn't give them the credit that they deserved. Because if they would have, there's no way they would have just been all of a sudden lackadaisical on defense, you know, not making the right reads, the right plays, the right moves, setting guys up for the better shot. It was just, it's kind of like their whole body language was like, okay, we already took care of game one and you're in the third quarter. Like, what are you doing? at Warriors fans, like, you must be like, what is going on? Especially if you're one of those people that are courtside with floor seats playing like 70K for that. I mean, that would get you a little upset. Probably not, right? Because it's disposable income. But I'm just, that's uncalled for. They obviously had them right where they wanted them. And you know what? Shout out to Boston for taking full advantage of someone not respecting you. Not respecting not only your defense, not respecting the Boston others, as they call it. I don't really like that. It's a team game, so they're the Boston Celtics. If you want to shout out the stars and say, okay, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, you know, you got to throw Marcus Smart in there because Marcus is that dude. But come on. Not Boston. I'm just not a fan. But to each his own. That's what you want to call him? Cool. No. The other guys were obviously valuable, and they wouldn't have won that game without them. I'll tell you one thing. Derek White, not there, not playing the way he did. They're not winning. Al Horford, not there, not playing the way he did it. I mean, consistently hitting threes. Granted, he was open, and he's a professional basketball player. I mean, you leave a guy open, that's kind of what you would expect. You know, but again, that goes to my previous point of the Golden State Warriors not respecting their opponent. They didn't respect him. I bet you they respect him now. Now, to really get into the heart of this, do I think Golden State is going to do anything drastic? I don't know if they're going to do anything drastic, but I think we're going to see more of Gary Payton II and Kuminga in game two tonight, for sure. You're definitely going to need that size. You're definitely going to need that athleticism, and not to mention that tenacity on defense. Because all in all, if you look at it, because I know everybody just wants to jump to the end, but if you look at the game, if you were really watching it and understand that Jason Tatum obviously had a bad night, and if you're the Warriors, you did your job on like whatever you were doing, trapping him, making it difficult. The minute he catches the ball, defense collapse. Cool. You guys did a great job. But guess what? Jaylen Brown stepped up. But more importantly, Al Horford, Derek White, Tice, Marcus Smart all stepped up. They all hit clutch, timely baskets. Especially when they went on that run. Like, they had the Golden State Warriors looking like, what just happened? But I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to say that the role players that I just mentioned are not going to play like that for the whole series consistently. Now, will one or two of them obviously have some good games? Yeah, I don't deny that. But if you look at the shooting, I don't see them shooting that well, that consistently for the rest of the series. Don't see it. I don't see that happening. But what I can guarantee, or I'm just almost sure of, Jason Tatum is not going to have another bad shooting night. I don't see that happening. And that's regardless of what the defense does. I'm sure Ime Udoka already has certain plays or certain things in place in order to make sure that he has good looks at the basket, to making sure that Jason Tatum starts getting going early. So it puts pressure on the defense to try to have to figure everything else out. Like, are we going to have to keep running back out to the shooters? Or are we going to stay on Jason when he decides to go ISO? Because I'm going to be real with you. When you look at that game, Jason Tatum did a really good job in keeping his composure. I mean, the one thing I must critique about him, because, and I must say this only because I like the guy. Like, the guy is really good. I love the way he stepped up on defense over as of late. But complaining to the refs, bro, like, cut it out. Cut it out. Like, I've never seen a guy go really hard at the refs, and the refs like, oh, my God, you're right. What was I thinking on that call? You're never going to see or hear that. The only time that that actually happens is when the other refs are talking to each other. Because I know some people are going to be like, no, there was times where they changed. Yeah, that's because another ref got involved. It wasn't because of a player was, like, berating, you know, a ref, and the ref was just like, oh, yeah, well, you know what? I never really thought about it that way. You know what, Draymond? You're absolutely correct. No, like, that hasn't happened. So stop talking to them. If you want to make a point and it's at timeout and you want to say something really quickly, like, hey, watch this guy. He keeps, like, grabbing my jersey every time I go to my left. Cool. He's trying to hook me every time I go to my right, and you see me dribble the ball between my legs, and you see him try to hook me every time I try to spin out of it. Cool. But if you're sitting there talking to the ref, and I'm saying that nicely because a lot of times they're just kind of yelling, and you don't get back down on defense, and then that's a transition bucket for the Warriors. Those points are going to matter. I know at the time your point seems so valid that you have to say it. And it may be worth those 2 or 3 points that you're going to miss out on, because now they're at the other end playing 5-on-4 because you just had to prove your point. Stop doing it, bro. Like, that is so annoying. And I hate to kind of single him out because it's definitely not him. It's Draymond. It's a lot of them. I mean, Luka, when he was playing, just cut it out. Like, it's so annoying. It does slow down the game. Nobody wants to hear it. Like, I get it. If it's that one time where it's so egregious, but I feel like it's become such a nuisance because they're doing it so much and for everything. And then the worst of it all is when they do the replay and then you see the guy actually foul him. And you're just like, so what were you even talking about? Like, why? You're just losing your credibility more and more. And worst off, you're losing points, you know? Because you're giving it up to the other team. Anywho, I digress. I don't know if that frustrates you. You let me know. It frustrates me. It's annoying. People always talking about ways to keep the game moving and stop slowing down the game. Well, that could be one of them. Stop talking to the refs. Leave it alone. Like I said, there's plenty of timeouts, especially during the finals. You know, there's plenty of times where you can have that a little, like, hey, watch this. Hey, like, you know. But the thing is, if you're on the other side and you're fouling too, I know there's, like, no accountability here because no guy's ever going to be like, yeah, well, I know I was fouling on the other end, but when he fouls me, it's a little egregious, though. It's, like, a little more, like, it's, like, but that's what the refs are going to say. Like, they're going to say, okay, you're telling me about a non-call on when you had the ball, but we're not going to talk about the 5 times you've probably fouled one of these guys over there, right? You don't want to talk about that, right? Okay. So what are we talking about right now? It's just ridiculous. Stop doing it. Jason Tatum, you're better than that. Stop talking to the refs. Get back on defense. That's what matters most. Your team is going to need you. 13 assists. Shout out to you. Big, big growth in his game. Not trying to force anything. Not trying to just isolate so much and just forcing, you know, the call. And then when you don't get it, then you talk. And it brings me back to my other point. You know, you're deciding to find your teammates. You're trusting your teammates. And, wow, what a job Brad Stevens has done. He can't get enough credit because I know everybody just wants to see it very simplistic in terms of, well, he just couldn't get the job done. No. If anything, he was smart. It's probably something that most people should probably start doing in life. if you recognize something in yourself, and you can sit there and say, you know what? There's somebody better for this job than me. And I belong at another job where my strengths will ultimately put tremendous value into the team. Like that's how we can be successful. Set aside my pride, because the fact that he's gotten them to so many Eastern Conference Finals, I mean, Brad Stevens has gotten them as far as he can get them. But he wasn't going to step out of character. He wasn't that guy. He's not going to talk to, you know, Marcus Smart the way M.A. Udoka would talk to him. And that's okay. He's not that dude. But he said to himself, you know what? I'm going to find you that guy. And he did. And that's why they are where they are. And that's why I always say the culture and just team success ultimately starts at the top. You have the owner letting the basketball minds do what they do best. Make decisions on who you want on your team, like Al Horford back. You know, a particular coach that's going to be able to speak to this team in the language that they understand and can grasp and move towards, and understand that it's going to be a slow process because we're getting guys out of habits that they're used to. Understanding that we're a team. All those personal accolades and everything else, that just goes out the door. That will come as long as we have team success. Without team success, everything else doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You're not always going to have a great shooting night. Sometimes the ball just don't fall. And I think Jason Tatum was able to learn that, not only because he has had shooting nights, obviously, in the past, not many because he's a great player, but when he's had those shooting nights, he realized he needed to adjust his game. How can I impact winning? But that's how we are as a society right now when it comes to basketball or any other sport. We're so bogged down by statistics. And don't get me wrong, statistics are great and they have their place. But you can't just use it as the end-all, be-all. You just can't. Because there's some stats, you know what I mean? Like, there's just some things that are not statistical and just can't be quantified. You know, you can't. And that's what's unfortunate, because especially when you talk about things like Hall of Fame and people are talking about, is Draymond Green going to go back, you know, going to go to the Hall of Fame and things of that nature. And what are people going to do? They're going to go straight to the stats. My point is, it's about impacting winning, whatever that might be. Being a pest on defense, being that leader for your team, holding guys accountable, like people are calling Marcus Smart the Draymond Green of the Boston Celtics. You could feel however you feel about Draymond Green, but that is a compliment. Because you saw what Golden State was like without Draymond Green. You saw it yourself. When he was out with his back, you saw it. That's what they're like. So obviously, he has his place. You may only see a couple of points, a couple of rebounds, some assists, but it's those intangibles. It's those things that you just, if you're not one of those basketball purists, you don't really understand what I'm talking about, because you're looking for a stat to back it up. And the best stat that I can give you that can back it up is a plus or minus. That's it. Like, that's why I told you that. That's like probably my favorite one. Because it shows your impact on the game. When you're in, it shows the point differential, you know, whether it's either in the positive or in the negative. But to get back to Tatum and understanding how his 13 assists were very impactful, it wasn't just about, okay, the number 13 assists. It was the fact that he adjusted. He made that adjustment. I'm sure the coach was in his ear. I'm sure, you know, Marcus Smart holding guys accountable, and that's a big thing. But that was big that Jason Tatum did it because he had to do it. And one of the things that they do, especially Jaylen Brown as well, is they love to jump up in the air and then make these wild passes. As you know, no player is taught to do that. Like, that's actually used. That would be like a cardinal sin, as they would call it. You know what I mean? Because obviously once you jump up in the air with the ball, you're stuck. Like, you got to throw it somewhere, right? Otherwise, that's a turnover. But the way Jason Tatum kind of owned that and said, you know what? Forget it. It's not my night. But it don't mean it can't be Derek's night. Don't mean it can't be Al Horford's night. Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown. And it wasn't just him having bad shooting nights in the past. I think it ultimately had a lot to do with learned behavior, what he saw around him, watching guys take accountability. Brad Stevens taking accountability. Hey, I'm not the guy to lead you guys, but I'm going to find that guy to do it. Like, that is big. That is growth. That is adulting at its finest. Like, understanding what you do best. And then being able to see a quality in someone else, especially being that, remember, he was an assistant coach. So Brad Stevens had to promote him, essentially, you know, anoint him to that coaching position. And watching all that as a, I can't even, he's still a young player, obviously, he just turned 24. But I mean, but with his wealth of experience already, you know, watching that, growing into that. I mean, that's a beautiful thing because that it's like sky's the limit for the Celtics, whether no matter what happens in this finals. Because they have a winning recipe. And it started with accountability. And that's their culture. Their culture is they're going to play as a team. They're going to play hard on defense. And they're going to be accountable for their actions. Like, awesome. But here's the thing. The reason why I say Warriors in six, it's simply this. It's not just experience. That's not what I'm going to say. It's because the Warriors are dynamic. They can make switches too. Not like Boston can. And here's the thing. They don't need to be like Boston to win. They just need to be more consistent on the defensive end like they had been in the past. When Gary Payton II and Kuminga find their way into that rotation, because I know Steve Kerr will do this. I just know he will. I can't tell you how, but I'm telling you, he will. He understands that he made some mistakes. I don't think he's going to admit that to you, nor that he shouldn't. He shouldn't admit that to you. But I'm sure he admitted it to his team. Just like I'm sure the team probably realized that they took their foot off the gas. When they had Boston right where they wanted them, they should have sealed the deal. They shouldn't have let up. They shouldn't have let Jason Tatum They shouldn't have let Jaylen Brown bail the Celtics out. Because real quick with that, I know we're talking about Al Horford and everything, and Al Horford did a tremendous job and first time in the finals. And, man, showing up the way he did, I'm sure any 36-year-old would love to do that. Shout-outs to him. But Jaylen Brown was the key. Without Jaylen Brown, none of that would happen. Jaylen Brown was keeping everybody in it. He made the defense focus on him. So that's what opened everybody up. everybody opened up because Jaylen Brown was a stud. And I'm going to say this. Jaylen Brown bailed out Jason Tatum. I know. He did. Do you know the conversation we would have been having if the Boston Celtics would have lost? Knowing that Jason Tatum went 3 for 17. And yeah, he had 13 assists, but everybody would have been like, yeah, but he's a star. He's not supposed to be, we don't need, he's supposed to be that guy. Like, they would have, like, it would have been bad. It's like Jason Tatum looks like the player that's grown and matured because they won the game. But without Jaylen Brown bailing out the Celtics, keeping them in it, helping them with that run for them to eventually take the lead and then take and run away with the game, that all started with Jaylen Brown. And it's sad because I don't think anybody sees that. And I can see why they had friction as young guys coming into the league. Both studs, both can do so many different things. And everybody was talking about breaking them up. And here's the thing. I don't think anybody really want, well, I can't really speak for everybody, but I just mean, like, for the most part, I don't think anybody wanted to see it get broken up. But I think people were pretty much saying, yo, figure it out or break it up. And that's a legitimate thing to say because they did need to figure things out. They know that. They had to figure it out. And guess what? They figured it out for the better. Which is obviously even better. I don't think anybody really wanted to see Jaylen Brown go because I think that would have been their choice. But I think that they probably had those hard conversations with them. Like, listen, if we can't turn this around, we can't trust each other. You guys can't figure it out. This is the way it's gonna be. And I felt like Jaylen Brown eventually kind of just stepped to the side, sort of like when Wade decided to step to the side when he asked LeBron to come play for Miami. Like, I think it was like that sort of situation. And not that I don't like Jason Tatum, because Jason Tatum is right up there. But if you're saying like Jaylen Brown is a number two or a Robin to Tatum's Batman, I don't think that. I just think Jason Tatum does so much of the dirty work that you don't really get to see how he impacts winning. Because he does a lot on the defensive end. Tatum is just getting to that point. Like, he's not an elite defender like Jaylen Brown is. He's getting there, though. Especially over the playoffs. But when we look at offensively, yeah, Jason Tatum has a plethora of moves, and you can tell he was working out with Kobe Bryant. You can tell that's his guy. And not because, you know, he would say it every so often, or if he's wearing a 24 band or has it on his jersey. No, I can just tell by the moves that he makes. And I'm like, wow, like, that just kind of gave you chills because you were like, wow, that was very Kobe-esque. But I'm going to tell you, like, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, 1A, 1B. They're just different guys. I'm not going to, because some people just like to compare their games and, oh, but he shoots better. And yeah, they have different attributes, but they both impact winning, obviously, on a high level. High level. Jaylen Brown pretty much showed you that, but yet he wasn't really the talk, you know, which is interesting. And that also speaks to Jaylen Brown's maturity, because that must have been a lot to kind of just say, you know what, I'm going to let my brother have this because, you know what, we're a team. And it really doesn't matter what anybody else says or what they think. It just matters what winning. It just matters what the guys in the locker room think and the fact that we're winning. But it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen tonight, and I hope you guys are watching, because I know I will. I'm going to watch for those changes. Watch to see if you see Gary Payton a second. See if he's on Tatum. See what happens. You know, watch for those little adjustments, because all those things are going to matter and they're going to come into play. I'm telling you. Now, am I trying to say that Boston Celtics can't do it? I honestly believe they can. But I think that's more so on the Warriors. If the Warriors get complacent and they kind of have this attitude like, oh, we've been there, done that, then, yeah, they're not going to win. They have to have that same fire, that same desire like they did before. And I know a lot of people worried about Klay Thompson. And honestly, I'm worried about him, too. He's been out for 2 years, ACL, Achilles. You feel for the guy. He loves the game, But right now, he's not great. He's good. They're not going to win if they keep relying on Klay to be great. Not consistently. I'm sure he's going to have a game or two where we're going to be like, oh, okay, Klay's back. You know, kind of like last series. But I'm talking about more in the defensive end. Can he do it? We're literally asking him to do something that's not even a fair ask, to be elite on the defensive end and on the offensive end consistently. Not a fair ask. Now, some people are like, well, if you're going to put in Kuminga and you're going to figure out Poole's minutes, and, you know, Poole hasn't been playing great, been wildly inconsistent. And you know what? He's going to get a pass. Never been here before. Bounced around for a while in the G League, finally got his moment to shine, and boy, has he shined all this season, even in the postseason. But now it's like, oh, we in the finals now. Like, whoa. Like, this is major. Like, this means something. This is legacy time. Yeah, I think the moment got to him, to be honest with you. He needs to change that, you know? It's just basketball at the end of the day. The media, the hype, everything else, like, that's what we do to make it fun. It's fun that way. And that's the hardest part for the players, because you have to just lock in. Quiet the noise, lock in. Stay focused. Boston is going to take this if they do not stay focused. Because Boston has been tested. Every team that's beat them in the past, the Nets, the Bucks, Miami, they went through them all. Two game sevens. Went through them all. And I still can't believe they went all the way to seven games, being that Middleton wasn't there. But that just speaks to Giannis' greatness. But those are those little things that kind of give you question marks about the Celtics, you know, when it comes to the Warriors at the same time. But they're showing a lot of growth. And the fact that they swept the Nets, and what they did to Kevin Durant, right? Like, I mean, yeah, exhaustion, because that season was, whoa, right? But Boston is tested. They're definitely battle tested. So they're ready. They're ready. I don't want to discredit them at all. But just understanding what the Warriors have, now it's up to them whether they want to utilize that or not. You know, and what adjustments that they plan on making. But honestly, they really don't have to do much, because they shut down Tatum. That's what you want to do. And if you would rather rely on the role players of Boston to try to beat you versus Tatum and Brown, that's who I would bet on. That's what you want to do. If you can shut down the stars and make the other guys shoot lights out like they did the other night, I promise you they're not going to do that consistently. That was a great game. I mean, that game was so great that it was like, it's not going to happen again. Because you can't expect that. You just can't. But it was a great game. They came out and they got a W at the Chase Center. Golden State knows that they haven't won at the Chase Center yet. I'm sure they're aware. You know, fans are paying a lot of money for them to come see them. They have a great team. Not a good team. They have a great team. Because they have loads of potential. Yeah, you can say the core guys are getting older when you think about years to come. But, man, they have a bright future. What Golden State needs to do is come out exactly the way they did last game. Stay to your game plan. Stay consistent. You wanted to put the emphasis on Tatum? Keep the emphasis on Tatum. You're probably just going to have to figure out when you're going to put in Kuminga and probably sit Draymond. You're going to have to figure out those minutes. And that's where it gets a little, you know. Yeah, that's all I have to say about that. Like, that's going to, you know, it's going to happen. Same thing with Poole. If Poole's not able to pull his weight, you're going to have to figure out that lineup. Because when they had Looney and Draymond out there, like, that's not going to happen. An elite defense like Boston, and now we only have to guard three guys? Come on. That's not going to win you any games. You need Looney. You need those offensive rebounds whenever you can, or you just need defense, or you just need rebounds for sure. Secure more possessions. Keep you in it. But if Draymond is not going to be able to knock down those shots, having Looney and Draymond in, probably not the best idea. But it's going to be fun. They just need to have the focus. Like I said, that's what's gonna matter. We already know Golden State can have a lead and everybody's going to say, okay, this game is over. And the minute they say the game is over, that's how you know they're beat. Because momentum is something that you can't quantify, and that is huge. That's huge. And that's why I think Gary Payton II is going to make such of a difference. Because first of all, they're still playing at home, right? They're still playing at the Chase Center. Gary Payton II injured because of, you know, Dylan Brooks and that whole situation. Everything that he's been through. He's a fan favorite because of his defense, not to mention his highlight transition buckets with the dunks and all that. Watch, when he gets going, the Warriors are going to be a problem. You're going to see that look on Ime Udoka's face like, crap, the Warriors are back. And you'll see it in everybody else's face too, guaranteed. Can't wait to watch. Shout out to all the supporters. Appreciate you guys listening. There's nobody better than you. Guys, always remember one thing. Losses equals life lessons. Peace.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl, K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.